Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 23rd. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Glad to have those joining us live tonight as well as those catching up in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm. Do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so tonight, Dr. Vicki, we were talking about kind of having an open discussion last week, but you had kind of a brilliant idea, and I'll let you say what our topic is going to be tonight.
Well, I have been listening to a podcast with a fellow named David J. Chalmers, who wrote a book and published it in January called Reality Plus, Virtual Worlds and the Problems of Philosophy. And and he really caught my attention because he's quoting Descartes and Plato, you know, and stuff. And I'm thinking virtual realities. I'm trying to connect some dots here. But then he started talking in a way about, you know, using words like creating a meaningful life. And, oh, now I'm really hooked. So I know we have talked about alternate realities or perceptions of reality before, Michael. Mm-hmm. We've never really addressed virtual realities in the way of metaphysics or philosophy. But I'd just like to preface this for everybody. What started at the beginning of the pandemic, there was... he and a number of other people, you know, of course, they're all in their homes, you know, we're all in shutdown. But he and a number of other doctors, physicists and philosophers, so on, decided once a week to go into this connection of virtual reality. Once a week, they would create a scenario, whether it's playing a game or just having a visit, and how that added such meaning to their lives, which really got him into, you know, writing Reality Plus. Now, again, I haven't read the book, but I did also find an article on him and, you know, just kind of gleaning what he was talking about in his, again, perception. Then he mentions the movie Free Guy. Mm. He's mentioned, he references a lot of movies, right, from The Matrix, too. Now, Free Guy is, I haven't seen it myself, but you have, Michael, so I'm going to ask you to talk about that in a second. But, again, how meaningful is meaningful? He claims that consciousness, no matter, we are conscious beings, so kind of no matter where we are, you know, we're creating a reality, and that can have meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's an interesting thing. Yeah, the movie, well, I think it just wraps around what is consciousness and what creates a reality. I think it's having something there to observe it, and like you said, that, you know, there's something about quantum physics, the fact that in order for existence to exist, there has to be something to observe it, is somewhat profound. And I don't know if we have to be particularly worried about copyright infringement, but the movie Free Guy, you know, the way that this tackles the idea of reality or what makes things real is a game character takes on a bit of self-awareness, breaks out of the original code, and it's because the code is designed to, for the different AI characters to adapt and grow and, you know, branch off into different things. Eventually, it kind of starts this careening process to where the character, played by Ryan Reynolds, the main character, becomes fully self-aware and either sentient or sentient, depending on which part of the, you know, English-speaking world you live in. And then there's this entire debate inside the game where he's self-aware, but his friends, who he has genuine affection for, are not. Yet, at least. I think something might happen later on. But the whole point of it being, what is real? What defines real? And there's one moment, which I think is probably what this writer is alluding to, in which Ryan Reynolds' character, he's having a bum time. He's realizing that he's a program. And his buddy, who's also a program, is just basically saying, well, what does it matter? You know, it's real right here. I'm here with my best friend. I'm trying to cheer him up. That's real. This moment's real, no matter what anybody else can say. And that kind of comes back to the, you know, I think, therefore I am. It's
Descartes. Yeah. I know. Yeah. You know, this is something that I have mentioned. We've talked about many times on this program throughout the years, Michael, about what's reality and what is real. And, of course, you know, my late teacher, mentor Frank, would say, you know, hold up a mug. I see the handle on the right side. You see it on the left side. But we can both agree that that's a vessel to hold something. We agree it's a mug. Preferably, you know, we agree it's coffee. Me and my coffee freak. But it's understanding how we have this agreeable shared perspective on some things, and yet we're all seeing that one thing a little differently. Now, as a very young girl, that, you know, again, was still hard for me to conceptualize, because I'm still adjusting to the world. I'm still trying to figure out who I am in this big old world and stuff. So it's okay, then this is our reality. Now, since growing, I see it's our culture. You know, how we've cultured ourselves. Each of us has a different life experience, therefore a different reality. But we can collectively understand and agree on a good number of variables, such as eat with a fork, you know, soup is with a spoon, you know, those kinds of things. And then...
kind of hard to eat soup with a fork. So it lends itself to certain
you
tasks.
You can drink from the bowl, I suppose.
I suppose.
It's so I think that there's, you know, we can agree on certain things as being real, which Frank would always say is different than what's the truth. So that's a different thing altogether. So this is what's real to us. So I think as a culture, as a society, and as the globe, you know, we have a shared understanding of reality, albeit from wherever we live and whatever we're going through. When you go into these virtual realities, such as, you know, these movies and so on, and what this, you know, Dr. Chalmers is saying, mm-hmm. My question would then be, how far out of our shared reality does it risk us to step, you know?
Well, it kind of just, I mean, have you ever used, we're rapidly approaching a period where, you know, what we see in fiction is becoming a reality in terms of a virtual reality experience. You know, some things like uplink or upload, rather, might be a ways off. But the virtual reality and what David, what was his last name? The author that
Chalmers.
We're discussing? Chalmers, thank you.
Chalmers.
David Chalmers, he would get into a group on a device, probably like an Oculus, but it's, you can do a shared space, you can do different games, And I think for people that grew up playing video games, especially online, it has a similar feel to that kind of camaraderie that you would get through an online experience. And it just shifts the locale from being a campfire to an online-centered experience. And in this case, you have more of a virtual representation, even if it is cartoonish, of the people that you're around. Mm-hmm. So it is just doing the same thing, but in using different tools and different ways to do it. And it is unique that we are able to connect from across vast distances. That has never before been seen in human history. So that, I think, shifts the paradigm. But I don't know that I would ever call it substituting one reality for the other that hasn't already been done even outside of virtual reality. I think you could look at people that get too lost in a particular world or, you know, particular idea or something along those lines. You know, it's, again, going back to a bit of a, you know, gamer culture throwaway, but, you know, people that would become obsessed with a video game like EverQuest or World of Warcraft and would put mm-hmm. just endless hours into it, you know, that becomes their world, and it does shut out their wider reality, which I'm beginning to think is what you were talking about.
Yeah, and I wonder about that. You know, Wendy made a comment in the chat here. She's heard of lots of people meeting other people and having entire relationships in these alternate, you know, virtual realities. And, well, I'm certainly not opposed to that, don't get me wrong. But when you then take off the headset, step away from the computer, you know, and you have to go into stepping into this matrix, if you will, how does it change us? Like, how do our personalities adapt, and how then do we know which one to build more of? Are people going to check out of this physical 3D place and live more in that alternate space and not take care of business here? No, those are only the questions I pose. So I think that, you know, we have a lot of work to do in this space-time dimension. And I know where we're going with technology. Oh, gee, but some people don't even know that French fries come from potatoes, Michael.
That's not true. You're making that up right now.
I'm not making that up.
How could you? How could you lie about something?
It's true. You know, and so this is what I mean about how out of touch. Like, how out of touch, meaning we've become, you know, of course, very urbanized, a very urbanized culture, okay, where when we see how a chicken is butchered and, you know, cleaned, we're offended and we say, how can they do that to chickens? But you go and shop for it at Safeway or Walgreens or wherever you go. And, oh, there's a chicken. There's this real gap between what's in our natural world coexisting with Earth, you know, fast forward to what you get in the supermarket. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I question. And again, it's not that I have an answer. I'm observing and I'm wondering about these things. And
well, asking the question is in and of itself, it changes the, you know, the perspective, the paradigm of the situation. Accepting alternative possibilities is enlarging the realm of what is possible and therefore what potential solutions you're going to look at.
Yeah, and that's, you know, if the power goes out, do you know how to, you know, build a teepee or a lean-to and start a fire, you know, and survive? And we are now in a reality look. We think somebody is a hero for surviving the wilderness for 4 days and managing to stay alive. But for 50,000 years, we've been doing that. So yeah. This is what I mean by this shift of our perspective on what's possible. And what's real in that, for that matter.
Well, I do think that some people can forget the true brutal nature of existence, and that you can become kind of enamored in your bubble of reality, that
yeah,
you don't see the consequences of things as much. You don't see that there is, you know,
Yeah.
It just, you know, I was watching a show where, you know, it takes place in the 19th century. A poor man, his wife and daughter died of smallpox. And, you know, he was left there in his home alone to take care of, you know, to basically, you know, dispose of the bodies. And he had to bury them. And it was the norm throughout almost the entirety of human history that we would have to deal with our dead. We would have our family. We would be the ones interring them,
yeah,
dealing with the body and everything like that. Whereas in the modern world, you are with them in their last moment, hopefully, and then the system takes over. And then there
exactly
is a human that deals with that, but you have a disconnect, which is right along the lines of what we were talking about. Although I do think that if people got hungry enough, that chicken would lose its rights pretty quickly.
Audra's just saying that she was just talking about this very subject a couple of weeks ago, and with someone, I was saying how I can make myself debone the chicken or whatever that means when I'm cooking, and the other person was saying how they can't do that. They eat meat, but they have to buy it pre-made. I have a daughter like that, so I get it. You know, she doesn't like the whole process of managing meat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people just don't have that in them,
and
others do it. You know.
Well, when it is kind of strange. You buy something, you know, a lot of us, most people, if you don't cook on a regular basis, you've cooked at some point in your life, and you manage different animals that, you know, making noise in the background, but no, you deal with this product that it doesn't have life anymore. It doesn't feel like it was even a living thing, even if it is just a chicken with, you know, everything not there. But the old adage goes, nobody wants to see how the sausage gets made.
Your dogs could be sausage before the end of the night. Sorry.
Just hearing the word gets them hungry.
That's funny. No, again, it's just realities. And I think there was a time not too long ago where everyone participated in the process of, you know, killing the chicken, cleaning it, or at least they had a part to play in order to put food on the table. Now most people just get it in a box and they're very disconnected from it. Now, that's just a perception of how our reality has shifted so much in a relatively short period of time, I might add, the last 30 years or so, 40 years really, boxed foods. And mm-hmm. And now we're taking another step into, see you later, guys, and going into the holodeck for a while. You know, and that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Welcome to Star Trek. I just wonder about that when you come back to this job. How can you function, or how well can you function?
It's funny that you say that, because the Oculus, the one that I have personally used and experienced, it does kind of feel like you're stepping into a bit of a holodeck. It's an entire, you know, virtual reality, and you get caught up in the game or the activity. There's a bunch of things on there that you can do, and then you kind of come back into the real world. And you're like, oh yeah, this place still exists, and you kind of go about it. You switch from one simulation to the other.
A disclaimer is we read books. You know, we watch movies. I watched way too many movies the last couple of years. And so those are escapisms also, you know, ways to, you know, alter our reality for those moments and for that short amount of time. Again, when we keep adding to the disconnect, I wonder though, and I don't think I'm alone in this wonder, but I do appreciate David Chalmers saying creating a meaningfulness. So hopefully it's all in a good and positive way.
Well,
that people are evolving their consciousness and developing, you know, their humanity as opposed to you know, I mean, hey, it could be therapy for, you know,
psycho
killers.
I think that ship sailed with the internet. I think that nothing in virtual reality is going to be terribly much different than the immersiveness that you get in living in the internet world anyway. It's just going to be a little bit more, you know, full, you know, it'll take up your all your senses, as opposed to just looking at a screen, in the sense of, you know, existing in a game or something like that, or in a meeting space, or, you know, conferencing, all of these different kinds of things. It's just kind of, you know, shifting it to a different different field, a different, you know, meeting place, I guess.
I read an article just today on a young girl in her 20s in the United Kingdom who had to go and get a new phone. And this time she decided, because, you know, the old phone was way cheaper than a new phone, except it wouldn't connect to the internet, right? She couldn't go on TikTok and all the other things. But she did it because she needed a phone and she was broke. But now she's hooked on it. She said, I spent way too much time connecting with others, you know, on the net and on my phone, and I'm starting to put some meaningfulness back into my life. And I so appreciated that. So 1 in 10 people are going to the old phones, what they call the back technology, the flip phones or the other ones where you have, you know, the keypad right on. You know what I'm saying.
It's like a device that just has that one app on your phone that you very rarely use called phone.
Yes, that's right. But I appreciated that, and now they're kind of reviving some of it because some people are saying that doesn't hold value for me anymore.
It can't.
And the meaningfulness, and I think people are deciding that meaningfulness. That's, I guess, my point there.
It can only ever be used to augment, you know, a physical, you know, socialization kind of experience. Communal experience. It can help with a lot of different people in different situations, but nothing will really ever replace that, you know, physical bonding that you get when you have people that kind of, you know, are socializing with one another. It's part of being the human animal. It's just what we are. But what I would say is that, just like with everything else, there will be people that use it for good and ill. Everything you were saying about, you know, this new virtual frontier and how we can hope that it, you know, builds towards these great things and maybe evolves our society in a better way. Well, I mean, that's what we said about the internet, and look how that went. It's basically, you know, led society to yet another...
a free-for-all.
But it's like, you also don't want to just blame the internet. Human beings have been very, very good at messing up a good thing for a very long time. We didn't need the internet to do it before now.
But I'm very grateful for the internet. I am grateful for technology.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
There's so many things about it that are awesome.
It's allowed this.
But what I have had to do, Michael, is discipline myself when I get up in the morning. The first thing I do is not turn on the computer. I kind of wander around. I get my coffee, you know, going. And I have a place I sit where I can overlook the valley. And I kind of decompress from wherever I've been dreaming. And I give my time. There was a time when the first thing I did is turn on the computer. There we go. You know, and I don't do that. See, so I think each of us has to decide for ourselves, you know, where we're at, and how much doing certain things takes away from a value that we have. And that's what I hope that, you know, once the meta phase kind of loses its glitter, you know, that people will kind of come around and say, yeah, okay, you know, let's keep this in perspective.
Everything in balance, right?
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, for a lot of, it is a tool like any other, and virtual reality will be another tool like any other. It'll be used for good. Well, I don't really, until it gets sophisticated enough to where it can actually trick people, and you can be tricked into believing that you're, you know, in a different reality, like the holodeck program on Star Trek, or I don't know, basically any sci-fi thing that's ever existed, having you live in a world that's not real, and you get bought into it. Until we get to that stage, I don't really see how VR can be a harm, unless, you know, more so than the technology we already have being a harm. But
I got to tell you, people are fascinating enough. How we live in different realities as it is, just our daily existence.
Yeah.
The right wing, the left wing, you know, the Christians versus, you know, those us other people. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Well, that's more of a regional thing.
And even catching up a little bit on the, the Supreme Court and Ketanji,
Brown?
Coming on as a Supreme Court judge in the process, and Ted Cruz asking all these questions, and I'm thinking, what reality does he live in? You know, how can you ask somebody questions like
Brown Jackson?
That? You know, thank you. It boggles my brain because, of course, I don't think like him. So, but to observe it without emotion, to observe it without a judgment, and where do you live in your mind? You know,
but
where is
that's a
that?
Whole other conversation for a whole other program. But I will tell
it's
you this:
it's reality, right?
Well, their reality. It's being played for an audience. It's being said not for anybody's benefit that's in that room.
But that is in and of itself an action within a reality.
Well, it's...
It's acting out, like whether it's you're acting it out in a play, a movie set, or, you know, in government.
Is this, misattributed to Shakespeare, that all the world's a stage and all of us mere actors? Was that actually Shakespeare, or is that just an apocryphal thing?
I think Shakespeare said that, as far as I know.
Oh, well, let's roll with it. Well, I'm not going to use this computer in front of me to look things up. What is this? If I can't talk to my devices, which is another aspect of augmented reality that we could talk about. So I think kind of what we're kind of pulling around as we kind of get into our cards tonight is that, technology is evil. It's consuming our lives, and it must be destroyed at all costs, except for the internet and internet radio and programs like this where you come to chat.
Crack me up.
But I think ultimately what I take away from this is that there's balance in all things. And
I know. I just wanted to talk about it tonight because, we know, I think we know the answer. We hope balance. Do other people know what that is?
I'm
going to go through another shift and another change of where people are finding the most meaning and value in their lives, whether it's, a lot of people don't go to work anymore. They work from home, so going out, whether you go shopping, connecting with the world, or you're, living with things on your head.
Well, that's an entirely different conversation in and of itself. You mean without having a device on your head that you perceive into another virtual reality, you create your own bubble by having, in this day and age, you don't have to go out. You can work from home. You can have your food delivered. You can have your groceries delivered. You can have your... everything delivered to your house without ever leaving your bubble.
Oh, I'll share this with everybody. My daughter and her husband came up from Arizona. Haven't seen them in over 2 years. So they're here visiting. And what I said to everybody is I will never take hugs for granted again. Ever. It's to be able to, as you said it earlier, Michael, a hug. Wow. That physical human contact. There's nothing like it in my reality. So.
Well, it's nothing like it for anybody. We need to touch one another. We need to be held and hold others. It's just part of being the human animal. And that's something to be enjoyed. Some people don't like the fact that, human beings are animals like any other because it makes us less, prestigious. Makes us less, grand, perhaps, in their eyes. But to me, I take it this way. It makes the natural world of living things that much more beautiful and wonderful in and of itself. We're part of that. Enjoy being the human animal that you are. Enjoy this existence. We don't know that the next one is going to hold entirely, although a lot of us have our ideas. We do know that there's something else at play in this universe, so it'll be interesting to find out.
What was it that... Edward said, I have to scroll up. He said, this reality or creation is a better alternative to staring staring at nothingness for eternity. That would get old really fast.
Well,
So I had to throw that in. It was so good.
You know, I think feel like this existence we're in very well could be a simulation where basically we're a bunch of beings that have no concept of time as we would know it. So you take a run through the game and you find out what existence is like as a mortal being. But all right.
Well, we have some people who are putting their names down in the chat. You know, for those who listen in the archives, we hope you can join us from time to time and participate. We have a good time in here. Lots of interesting people, and it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. Encourage those to join us live. Still, if you can't, we appreciate you catching up the archive. But just know that You let us down a little bit, just a little bit.
I think we have Dr. Edward up first.
We
Michael,
do.
What do you think?
Dr. Edward, I have number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Nine of diamonds, nine of pentacles in support of that, Edward. What I think it is, there might be something you want to do in the home that gives you a little bit of a better feeling. It could be, you know, a little meditation space or something that you feel, a place that you can sit and feel more connected to, you know, your one planet, one race, you know, that, and your higher consciousness, higher self. So that's just what I'm thinking of here. You might be thinking about it or creating it or changing it up. And I think that's a really positive thing. I do.
Very nice. All right, we have Dr. Mike next, and I have wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction, but do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
You know, Mike, the Jack of Spades or Jack of Swords comes up here, and what it's saying, you know, we all feel frustrated at times when, you know, we're trying to move forward and it's just not that kind of a day or it's not that kind of a week. And those are the times we have to, like, just chill out. So this is just reinforcing that. Don't push things. I'm not saying to look for the path of least resistance. I am saying, you know, we have to put effort into things. But if there are things right now not necessarily moving forward in the way that you'd like, just sit back and observe it all rather than putting some too assertive of an energy into it. So that's my recommendation, at least for the next, and what comes to me is the next couple of days. So, and then the energy will shift again.
The constant change of life.
Yes, indeed. We have go with the flow sometimes, Michael. We got Jeff next, Dr. Jeff.
And Jeff, I have number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Ace of Hearts in support of that, Jeff. And what is it you desire? Where's your passion? What's natural to you? Where does your heart live and what you want to learn and how you want to apply yourself next? So it's just that little reminder. So I don't feel like there's any big psychic flash that I get from that, but it's the affirmation of don't do what you think you're supposed to do. Do what you love. And what, you know, you're such a natural at so many things. You know, I said to my granddaughter today or yesterday that are the things that you like to do that come naturally and you don't think, oh, well, I couldn't do that for a living because that's too easy. But that's what you ought to be doing, you know, when it comes natural to you. So that's what I want to say.
All right. And we have Eileen next.
We do.
Eileen, I have number 36, gratitude. Let's see. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. Nice card.
Five of clubs. There's many ways to read the five of clubs. I want to say, what I want to say is, whew, I'm glad that's over. that's what first comes to mind for me, Michael. For Eileen is it just being really grateful for all that you learned throughout that process, all the things that you benefited from, even though it was challenging and you say, whoa, it's like, I want to say, well, I'm really glad all that stuff is done and I can move on now. So it's having gratitude, even in those moments where you're just so glad it's over.
I think we can all empathize with that.
<I know. laughs> Okay, we have Wendy next. I hope that makes sense to you, Eileen. So.
All right. And for our card keeper, Wendy, I have number 42, trust and integrity. And don't worry, Wendy, we're letting you off the hook. I think you can miss one every now and again.
Just for anybody in the archives, Wendy is saying that she felt bad. She's missed a couple of shows, and she does keep track of all the cards that we pull and looks for continuity and repetition. It's really fun that she does that.
It actually and, is. And it points out a lot of interesting patterns.
Yeah, so anyway, trust and integrity. What does right. it say there, Michael?
All right. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and a trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Chariot. Ooh, that's a powerhouse. So you're moving forward, managing the negative and the positive. When you have trust and integrity with Chariot, the first thing that came to my mind, Wendy, is she says, oh, FYI, she had this card on the 9th of March. Wow.
You know, I had a feeling that has come up for you before.
Wow. See, there's a message. It, when you learn things about people that you maybe didn't want to know, or you preferred to not have that much information, or that you were better off not having that insight because it was just easier, you know, but still maintaining your trustworthiness and your integrity. And I feel like you're moving forward, upward, and on, and as a supervisor, manager, that sort of thing. And keeping relationships and the integrity of relationships, even though you have a greater insight and you're doing it very well. So the integrity of that, because you're just a good human being, Wendy. You are a smart girl too.
Absolutely. I think that really comes through to everybody that's had the pleasure of interacting with you, Wendy.
Yes.
All right. And we have Ronnie next. And Ronnie, I have number 16, the continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin.
Whoa, it doesn't get any bigger than pulling the tower on that one, Ronnie. So, continuity of life, it's a rebuilding, restructuring. One thing about the tower is you still have and maintain your foundation. It's just everything above, like what the building looks like, what your life looks like on top. But who you are stays intact. The foundation of your life stays intact. It's just the extraneous things. So it tells me that there's been a shift or a change in your life. But you got this. There's no question in my mind that you've got this. You're in a process now of rebuilding how you want your life to look. And I see it as exciting. When you first get into it, it's overwhelming and scary. But I like this. I say, whoa, what's next? Let's go. So it can be anything that you want it to be, Ronnie. Just remember that.
It's a wonderful opportunity.
Hope that makes sense to us.
All right. And we have Jamil next. And I have number 14, Energy Shift, A New Chapter. Let's see. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Oh, Seven of Spades. You had dogs in the background, Michael. I have my window open. There's a big truck outside that's kicking up some dust.
I know.
I really like the Seven of Spades in this case, Jamil. Energy shift, new chapter. In this case, I'm going to say it goes better than you expect. So again, shifts and changes can be a little intimidating, a little overwhelming at times, but I think where you feel you might have lost some momentum, you're actually gaining another strength and momentum in another way. So energy shift, new chapter, see it as that and a positive, because you're not who you were a year ago or 5 years ago. This is the Jamil of today. And stronger, better, more, greater, all of that. And, more tools to put forward into your life. So I find something new and exciting is just around the corner.
Very good. I love that message. All right. And we have Audra.
Okay, I have to interrupt before we pick for Fred. She said that she just checked out at the grocery store and missed a show, but she said, I bet you all didn't know you're going for a walk, did you? So she's listening anyway. It's good to have you, Audra.
Always a pleasure. And let's hope that this makes it all worth it. I have preference over principle. See if this connects. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. Hope that connects.
Audra. Okay.
That's a big sigh.
I picked a card, and I said, that's big. So then I said, pick another one, or the voice in my head said, and that's even bigger. So stay with me here. Preference, principle, and I pulled the death card. Man, that is a big change in your life coming. So what's in support of that? The Empress. Empress is, again, fertility, all new seeds of life, all new beginnings. So you are in this profound shift, and we know a little bit about your life. I'm just saying, these symbols that we're pulling out are affirming and encouraging to you that there is this really big new beginning, almost touching it. You can almost reach it. Now, you may not know about it yet consciously, but it's in the universal frequency and it's being created for you. So this is good. This is really fun for you, Audra. So please keep the faith.
Absolutely. Especially now that you're the Empress of Death, we're all going to, make sure to be extra polite to you now.
That's a good one, Michael. Empress of Death. Empress of New Life.
Ah.
There we go. Don't leave a bad taste anywhere. So, thanks for the feedback, everybody, as we've been going through it. I appreciate that a lot, more than you know.
Oh, and just, you know, the general feedback when we go throughout the show or broadcast the program, anything but that, because this is so much more than that. It's not just a show. It's something where we come together, where we talk, where we engage. And the engagement that Dr. Vicky and I each get from you in chat is wonderful. And it makes this, you know, just a wonderful experience. But, and we hope that it adds something to those that listen to the archives, that, you know, when you come to this live broadcast and when we get to have jokes and we get to have feedback and we just have a good time, I really hope that that carries over and that people that are listening to the archives kind of, you know, get that feeling too. So, can't thank you enough. So.
Well said, Michael. Well said. You know, we just came through another full moon and the spring equinox, which in pantheism is Easter. So, you know, it's a wonderful time of new life, certainly Northern Hemisphere. Let's make that clear. So, and that's why I say it's a good week. It's a new life. I want to say that I understand that there are a lot of people going through difficult times and hardship, and some more than others. We extend all the love we can muster in sharing that, and those who do that Reiki energy, those prayer energies, however you send it out, wishing everyone on the planet right now, you know, a lifted heart.
Very well said, you know, and it's good to remember every day, you know, not just things that are happening in the news at the moment, but even in times of relative peace, there have always been those that need some kindness, and, you know, we hope that they find it in this world, because it's a rough enough go for even the best of us that are in the luckiest of situations. You know,
sure,
we think about those that don't have that kind of luck, it just makes your heart go out to them, and you just want to do everything you can. But it has been a good discussion tonight. I don't know really what we're going to be getting into next week. I don't know if it's going to be along the same kind of, you know, existential vein, or if it's going to be something a little bit different, but
I would like us to work on having Teresa back.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. I know that her availability is going to be coming open again here at the end of this month, beginning of next, if I'm remembering that right. So don't worry, we'll, you know, pressure her enough into coming back on the broadcast. Good old-fashioned peer pressure. Although she was a wonder, and I'm sure she would love to come back. So next week, we might have an open discussion, and Dr. Vicky or I might come up with a topic. We'll definitely announce it ahead of time. But tonight, going through this kind of run of virtual realities and the disconnect, really about technology and civilization, kind of getting back to, I don't know, the root of reality? Is that kind of how you would describe it, Dr. Vicky?
Well, civilization is the perfect word for it. What kind of civilization is it? I really do wonder what people are going to think, you know, in 300 or 500 years, digging up all our garbage and saying, what were they doing?
Well,
you know?
Look at how we look at people 300 and 500 years ago.
Yeah,
what were they doing?
A lot of their garbage biodegraded.
Well, a lot of the garbage is what we're dealing with today in the modern era. But
somewhat.
I digress. We're looking forward to having you all join us next week. I hope that you have a wonderful week. Stay positive. Be a force for good out there. And until we talk again, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.